This morning, though, we are continuing a 10-part series in the book of Luke, and so I have been just enjoying it thoroughly. Hopefully, you have been reading along at home, and you've been like, well, I love this book. And we're looking at the life and lessons of Jesus as reported by the gospel, the only Gentile gospel writer, the only non-Jewish gospel writer of the four gospels, Luke, and he happens to be a physician. Isn't that crazy? Doctor. So, Dr. Luke, and So, super excited about that. Hopefully, you've been reading along with home. But today, I want to talk about something that Jesus brings up in a really awesome way. And it's this idea of, like, grit. Grit and persistence. I love this idea of grit. Like, culture has changed a lot. And I remember growing up, there was a sense of, and I grew up in the 80s, I was born in 1971, so I'm older than, wow, over half of you, that's crazy. So, yes, 71, come on, class of 89, bring it, yes. So, fellow 47-year-old back there. And, but there was just, a certain attitude growing up where it was like, you didn't quit stuff, right? Like if you joined, I remember joining wrestling in seventh grade. And it was crazy hard. Like, I had never exercised like that in my life. I mean, our coach would push us and push us. And kids would drop out and stuff. But I remember just some of the people in my life going, hey, don't quit. Don't quit. It's just a season. Don't quit. Just keep on going. So when the coach is telling us to run another mile, is telling us to hop the stairs another three or four more times, and our sides hurt, and we're panting, and we just, everything in us just wants to quit. There was something in the culture that I grew up in that was very much, no, you don't quit. You have grit. You tough it out, right? I honestly can't remember the last time I've heard the phrase tough it out. And things have changed so much now. It's just like, oh, you know, it was just too hard, you know. And like, people aren't ashamed anymore to say it was too hard. Like, people aren't ashamed anymore to go, well, I gave it a shot, but, you know, I just quit, you know, a day later. And so I heard the story of this Chinese woman. And true story, she just wanted to get her driver's license. And her name was Cha Sasun. Isn't that a great name? Yes, soon. Sounds like a dance move. And but she lived alone in this tiny mountain village in actually South Korea, and she wanted to learn how to drive. So you can imagine, like, when you're older, when you're in your 60s and you've never driven in your entire life, it might be tough to learn at that point, right? And she wanted to learn how to drive, and she didn't begin until she was in her 60s, and so it was an incredibly difficult, like, road for her to do this. And so she wanted to get her driver's license, and they called her Grandma Sasun. That was what everybody called her, Grandma Sasun. You know what? Like, anybody who, like, earns the nickname Grandma from people who are not their literal grandmas, automatically I love them. And, right? And so she failed the written portion of the driver's license test. And it was 40 multiple choice questions. She failed it 949 times. I know, 949 times. I don't know about you guys. Like after probably 25 times, I might think, maybe I'll just never pass it, right? But 949 times. And it was just really, it was confusing for her because she lived in a remote village. She didn't get most of the questions that were basically based around street traffic in the city, right? And so finally, on the 950th attempt, she got a passing grade of 60. So she didn't knock it out of the park, but she still got a passing grade, and she moved on to the actual driver's test, which she failed four times before passing. Now, I failed my first road test when I was 16. I got it my second try. She failed four times, and then she got it. And then, by this time, like, all of South Korea knew that she was, like, this incredibly persistent grandma, right? And she kind of became a little bit famous. She was, like, a national hero, almost. And she was actually given a Kia Soul, and they put her in a TV commercial. They were so impressed by her persistence, you know. It's too bad those Kias aren't as persistent as that woman, because I've had one. And I don't know if you ever heard of the author Timothy Ferris. Tim Ferris. He wrote The 4-Hour Work Week. It's one of the best-selling books ever. And he was actually turned down by 26 publishers before he got a contract with the 27th. Like, I'll bet you all the 26 other publishers are probably kicking themselves, because this is one of the best-selling books of all time. And but 26 publishers. I remember when my oldest son, which thank goodness he's not in here so I can talk about him. He's in the other room serving Mercy Kids today. But man, when he was young and he wanted something, there was no such thing as no. No just meant later. No just meant ask another 5 times. I mean, it was unbelievable. I never knew any kid. I remember one time we had this car game. There was this car video game for the PlayStation, and he wanted to play it so bad. He called it the game with the car, the game with the cars and the man with the wheels. That's what he called it. He was like, how old was he, honey? 5? 4? He was like 4 years old. He's like, hey, can I play the game with the car and the man with the wheels? Well, Forrest, maybe later. You know, we're not, you know, can I play the game? We went to Ireland. We spent a week in Ireland. Do you know, I want to know what we heard? Every 2 minutes for a week, when it was impossible to say yes because we weren't even in the country. I play the game with the cars, man with the wheels. Game with the car, man with the wheels. Forrest, we're across the ocean. It is physically impossible for you to play that game. Game with the car, man with the wheels. I'm pretty sure he gave me an aneurysm that week, but... Persistence, dozens of times. He was just asked over and over and over again. My mother used to pray every day for my brother and myself. And I remember walking past her bedroom door in the morning to head out to school, and I would hear her just crying, just weeping, you know, and just in tears and crying out to God for me, and crying out to God for my brother. And she would do that for years, just daily seeking God for us. I don't know, you might not know this, but Mercy Vineyard is actually our third church plant, not our first. So we actually planted 2 churches before this that just went in the first year. They never made it a year. They were gone. And it just didn't work out. So this is actually our third church plant. Today is actually our 7th birthday. Can you believe that? Yeah. I've never even lived in the same house for 7 years, you know. So today's our 7th birthday, so I'm so excited about that. But it wasn't like, hey, this is our first church plant, and hey, we made it. You know, there were two failures before this. And persistence is so powerful. And sometimes the power of just simply, like, not giving up. Just that. Just the act of not giving up. Is that an act? I guess. The act of not giving up is something that can't be replaced by any amount of talent. It can't be replaced by any amount of connection, any amount of education. Sometimes just that one element of just not quitting is the difference between success and failure. And can be an even greater determination of success or failure than our talent. You know, we probably all know some really brilliant people who have never succeeded at anything. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? I mean, they got the brains, they got the talent, they got the charisma. I mean, they've got everything but the grit to keep going. And you know, you kind of watch those people go from, like, thing to thing to thing, and you just go, oh, man, if they just didn't give up, they would be knocking it out of the park. Like, if they just didn't give up, they would have amazing businesses. They would have amazing relationships. If they just didn't give up, they would have, you know, and we envy even their talent. We're like, oh, my goodness, I wish I had half their talent. I wish I had half their, you know, ability to connect with people and all those things. And, man, you know, we all know people just like that. And maybe you've kind of been, you know, in places before where it was just grit. It was just determination. That kept you going. Maybe you've been in a situation where you wanted to give up, right? But it was just too hard, you know? It's just too hard to pray again. You ever been in one of those situations? And it's just too hard to pray again. Because you know what's going to happen if I pray again? Nothing. I'm just being honest, right? We've all felt that way before. You know what's going to happen if I pray again? Absolutely nothing. Why do I bother? You know, why try again? Why put myself out there just one more time? Man, it's the furthest thing that you wanted to do, but you kept going. And eventually what happened? Maybe you got some traction. Or maybe you kind of are that person where you have a tendency to try stuff and then give up, right? And so I have a friend that, he's not a close friend, but, you know, I follow him on social media. You know, I know him, and we've gotten together a couple times. And I follow him on social media, and over the years, I've watched him go, "Hey, we're launching this." And he's like super passionate, and he's always kind of plugging his new store or his new business or his new enterprise or whatever. And then like a few months later, you stop hearing about it, and it kind of trickles out, whatever. And then like all of a sudden you hear him go, "Hey, I'm starting that." And you're like, "Well, what happened to that?" Right? And you kind of know people, like, or maybe you've walked that before where you're just like, "Yeah." And your friends around you are starting to go, "Well, it's kind of getting hard to support you. Because I really was behind you at that last thing, but you gave up because you couldn't get the loan. Or you kind of, that relationship fell through because, you know, you just couldn't work through conflict. Or, you know, or you just kind of gave up," right? And we know people like that, and we've been through that before, you know, where disappointment creeps in, fatigue takes over, overwhelm takes over, disillusion kind of grabs a hold of you, and then you quit. And then it's on to the next job or the next relationship or the next, you know, fitness program or the next prayer request or the next volunteer opportunity. You know, and we know some people that just sort of, they volunteer here and they're like, "I love this. Yeah, well, I can't wait to make a difference." And then like a few months later, they're like, "Man, if they only did things this way, man, if I was running it." And then it was like, "No, God really told me. God said I can go away from that one." And then they move on to the next one, right? And so it's just like, we just want to quit, right? Because they aren't bearing the results that we were hoping for. It's funny because I'm actually, I just finished a course on, it's just kind of a business launching course. And one of the things the instructor said, he goes, "Listen, every one of you in this room, if you have a thriving practice, it's going to be after you wanted to give up." He said, every one of you in here, man, you are going to go through hell to get to where you want to be, right? The problem is most people, they get to the hellish part, and they're out, and they don't get to the good part, right? So the good news is that Jesus had something to say about this in Luke, and the crazy thing is that like shortly after Jesus talked about this, he encountered it right away. And it's so cool. And so let's actually get to Luke. We're going to start off. Let me pray real quick. God, I pray right now that you would cause your word to come alive in us, that it would bear good fruit in our lives. It would bear good change. It would, God, bring great results because we're following you, Lord. We're doing what you say. And God, just cause it to come alive in us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to read Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Jesus is having a little conversation with his disciples, and it says this. It says, "One day, Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should sometimes pray and occasionally give up." It's a really crazy story. Now, what is that? It says, always pray and never give up. I love it that Scripture uses the words always and never in this situation right here, right? Always pray and never give up. It says this, it says, "There was a judge in a certain city," he said, "who neither feared God or cared about people." Isn't that the kind of judge you want, right? No. So, "a widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, 'Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy.'" So this woman was looking for justice. She had been wronged, right? Almost like, I guess, you know, you think today, if you've ever been ripped off by a business, maybe they took your money, maybe you paid a handyman up front to come and fix your porch, and he never showed up, right? I think a lot of people have been through situations like that where you kind of been ripped off, and you would have appreciated some justice, and we've had landlords do that to us, right? And so she wanted justice, and the judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I love that. I just love it. He's not even doing it for the right reasons. He just wanted some peace. But this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she's wearing me out with her constant requests. I just love this story. Then Jesus said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who what? Cry out to him day and night. Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly, but when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith? I love that. At first blush, when you read this, you go, what? How does that make sense? I tell you, he'll grant justice to them quickly, but when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on this earth who have faith? How does this all tie together? We're going to talk about that. But if you remember one thing this morning, I want you to remember this. Never give up on what you're praying for. Never give up on what you're praying for. It's so easy to do. It sounds super basic, but how many times do we pray? Maybe we ask for healing. Maybe we cry out to God for a job. Maybe we're crying out to God for a relationship or success in a business venture. We're praying for favor. And then we just give up out of discouragement, right? It's so easy to do. We give up out of discouragement. Here's the interesting thing that I've learned about prayer over several years. I'm going to give you a little prayer tip, all right? In most cases, the answer to our prayer is a cooperative effort. Following me on that? In most cases, the answer to our prayer is a cooperative effort. In other words, when we can, we should be directly involved in the answer to our prayers, right? So like when we can, no, I'm saying there are some times when we can't do anything and what we need is just a miracle. We pray, we cry out to God. But there are other times when God is going, okay, let's do it together. And those are the situations, like, okay, when we're sick and when we need healing, we should pray to God, yes, but we should also take care of our bodies. Okay? It's kind of silly if we're praying to God and asking him to help lower our cholesterol while we eat a Twinkie. God, heal me. Right? As we're driving through the McDonald's drive-thru. Yeah. Right? God, heal me. But we don't get any, I got a weak heart, Lord, but we're not exercising. So, there are just those things, those times when it's a cooperative effort. And God is wanting us to partner with him in that healing and not just sit around passively kind of going, okay, God, bring it. God, make me lose 20 pounds. God, make me lose 20 pounds. You can do it, okay? And sometimes, okay, maybe if we need financial provision. Maybe there's times when we need financial provision. Picking up an odd job can be just as much an answer to prayer as receiving a miracle, right? Did you know that? So, God, I need a miracle. God, I need financial provision. Well, hey, okay, there's a part-time opening over here. You work there through the holidays, and that would actually solve your problem right now. Okay? And so, or maybe we're praying for an entrepreneurial idea to succeed. I love that we live in a day, I think, where we have probably more entrepreneurs than ever. I mean, growing up, there was one number on the page. You went to work at American Motors for 30 years, and you took a retirement, and you left. And that was it. Big corporations took care of you. They had good Bennies. Everybody always talked about Bennies growing up. They got good Bennies over there. They got good Bennies over at Kone, don't they? Yeah, both you guys are over there going, yeah. But, today we see more entrepreneurs, more people starting businesses, more people developing new things. Shark Tank is just a huge show right now. Growing up, Shark Tank would have lasted a week. And everybody, well, who cares about that, man? I'm working over at AMC, right? Chrysler. And, And so, I but if we are praying for that entrepreneurial idea to succeed, you know what also will help us a lot, in addition to God blessing our efforts? Reading a book on business. Right? We cooperate with God in the answer to our prayers. And so in matters like these, the old saying really does go that God helps those who help themselves. Right? That God helps those who help themselves. When we cooperate with God in the answer to those prayers, a lot of really cool things can happen. There's a lot of truth to that. There's a lot of truth to that. So exercise some grit. Keep working. Keep praying. Keep persisting. Partner with God and don't give up. Don't give up. Okay? The second thing that I want to say is this. Persist in things that align with the heart of God. Persist in things that align with the heart of God. Okay? Isaiah chapter 30 says that God is a God of what? Of justice. Right? And this woman in the story, she was looking for what? Justice. So, if God is a God of justice, then we know that justice aligns with the heart of God. Why? Because Scripture says that God is a God of justice. So, when something is on our heart that aligns with the heart of God, persist in that. Persist in that. I remember a few years ago, I was talking to a guy who, we were sitting and talking, he came to prayer, and he was having just a really rocky time with his girlfriend. I said, I just want God to bless our relationship. I just really want God to just bless our relationship. But he was living in sexual sin with her. Everything about their relationship, their relationship started out of an affair. They were living in sexual sin together. And he was going, God bless this. God bless this. God bless this relationship. And the thing is the thing that he was asking God to bless was not in alignment with the heart of God. Okay? And so there's a problem when we are walking in something that doesn't align with the heart of God and we're persisting in it and asking God to bless it. Okay? You got following with me? We can't refuse to do things God's way and then ask God to bless it. I mean, it's just like going, God, I got $500. I'm going to the casino. Bless it. Bless it, God. Bless it. It doesn't work that way, does it? Because does gambling align with the heart of God? No. But when we have found something that aligns with God's heart, with God's intention, persist in that. Persist in that. And listen, just because it aligns with the heart of God doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Okay? Planting the church is one of the hardest things we've ever done. Probably the hardest up there with raising teenagers. But not killing our children aligns with the heart of God. Okay? So, listen. When we are aligned with the heart of God, we're aligned with His desires. We're not walking contrary to His will or His ways. And we know that it aligns with the heart of God. Just don't let go. Don't let go of that. Man, you latch onto that thing like a pit bull and you refuse to let it go. You keep praying. You keep moving forward. You keep doing the best that you can. Okay? The last thing is this. Sometimes faith and grit look the same. Sometimes just not quitting and faith look exactly the same. Okay? Jesus says at the end of this parable, he says, but when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on earth who have faith? So what's he saying? How many will I find on the earth who haven't quit? Who haven't abandoned their faith because it was just too hard? Who haven't stopped fellowshipping with other believers because they commune on the golf course with the Lord? Who haven't, you know, given up on their marriage because it was too hard? Who haven't, you know, how many people who just haven't given up? Who haven't quit? Right? Isn't that what Jesus is saying? Who insisted on believing and holding on to the thing that they know that God has led them to do and not quit? Who've held on to their faith? Sometimes that's just what our faith is. You ever watch Survivor? And they have those endurance challenges. They got to like stand on a post holding up weights on their arms, and their arms are shaking, and it's like they can't feel their feet anymore, but they got to hold this weight up, and they got to do it, right? And then like you see the little elapsed time at the bottom, 2 hours, as they're standing on this post over the water holding a weight over their head or a bucket of something, right? And the winner goes to the person who lasts the longest. You know what? Sometimes our faith is like that. You know what, God? I'm not feeling this music this morning. We were talking about we love you and we never stop. But God, I can't even feel you. God, I haven't felt you in a year or two or three. You know what? I'm going to stand here and I'm going to sing to you. And I'm going to love you and trust you. And I'm going to hold on, even if my faith right now is just an act of endurance, right? You know, or you know what, God, I do not feel like, oh, you know, God, you know what, the last time a Bible verse jumped out and punched me in the face was 10 years ago, but I'm going to read it anyway, because you're in there, because your Holy Spirit illuminates your word to me, right? God, you know what, the last time I put you in the center of a relationship, all hell broke loose. But you know what? In this relationship, I'm going to put you at the center. And I'm going to make sure that I do it your way. And you know what, God? The last time you told me to reach out and bless my neighbor, he gave me a really weird look and slammed the door in my face. But I'm going to do it anyway. See, this is what Jesus says. He says, when I come back, how many will I find faithful? Right? He's talking about the people who have persisted regardless of the evidence. Because that's what faith is, right? That's what faith does. It does what God leads us to do regardless of our experience. We trust God regardless of our experience. And so Jesus says, how many will I find on the earth who have faith? It's the people who just haven't given up. Who just haven't given up. How's that for like a Christian reality check? Right? But hey, if we're all honest, this whole business of I'm just blessed no less and I ain't taking the devil's mess. You know, that sounds great on the radio, but that sucks in real life. Okay? Because we all face the mess. And we have a choice to make. Will I persist? Will I have the grit to not give up and to keep doing it and to get up and pray another day, regardless of the evidence, regardless of what have I experienced and what I've felt? Will I get up and I seek him another day? Will I believe him another day? Will I refuse to give up? And will I be tenacious and get up and do it again? That's grit. And that's faith. That's what faith does, because grit and faith look the same. And so faith, you know, here's the thing. Faith says, I know that he's a God who heals. So I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to stop praying. I'm going to make healthy decisions. Right? Faith says, I believe I'm supposed to start a business. So I'm not going to quit. I'm going to do everything possible to make sure that it happens. All right? Faith can move mountains, right? Faith can move mountains, especially if you're willing to take a shovel and start digging chunks out of that mountain and refuse to quit. That's how faith looks. And Jesus is saying, you can look at that mountain and tell it to be thrown into the sea. He means, yeah, if you don't give up. If you don't give up, if you keep praying, if you keep digging, and if you have a mountain to move in your life, pick up a shovel. Pick up a shovel and start moving it. One little shovel piece at a time and refuse to give up. Refuse to give up. Don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. Perseverance is such a powerful thing. It's such a powerful thing. This morning I want to wrap this up. And I want to read you a little story that takes place. It's literally just a few verses down. Remember I said Jesus preached this and then he encountered it? Just a few verses down. And Jesus tells this parable about the persistent woman. And then, just a few verses down, in verse 35. through 43, it says this. It says, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind beggar was sitting beside the road. Everybody say, blind beggar. This guy didn't have a whole lot going for him. Okay? He's a blind beggar, and I'm sure all of us have felt like a blind beggar at one point in our lives, if we don't now, right? And when he heard the noise of a crowd going past, he asked what was happening. And they told him that Jesus, the Nazarene, was going by. So he began shouting, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet, the people in front yelled at him. This is really cool. So here he is, Jesus is passing by, this blind beggar's on the side of the road, he's going, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. People are going, hey, zip it, blind guy, right? And what does he do? He only shouted louder. He only shouted louder. A lot of us at this point, they'd be like, well, Jesus is famous, and he was at this time, right? I mean, you know, Jesus is famous, and he's got his entourage, and they're telling me to be quiet. I guess I'll zip it. And he didn't. He says, so the scripture says he only shouted louder. So he got loud. And it says, Son of David, have mercy on me. When Jesus heard him, he stopped and ordered that the man be brought to him. As the man came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, he said, I want to see. And Jesus said, all right, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Your faith has healed you. Think about that. If this guy wouldn't have had a little grit and a little persistence, Jesus would not be saying to him at this moment, your faith has healed you. Think about that, right? So he said, your faith has healed you. Instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus praising God, and all who saw it praised God too. It was the blind beggar's persistence that sparked the miracle. It was the blind beggar's grit that sparked the miracle. He didn't just kind of whisper under his breath as Jesus passed by. Oh, Jesus, it didn't work. Look, I tried that. I tried that. Right? I hear that a lot when I encourage people to pray about a situation. Look, I tried that. Yeah, you whispered a prayer in the shower. Sorry. I'm not diminishing that. But the people told around, they said, be quiet. This guy didn't have a whole lot going for him, but he kept shouting. He kept shouting, believing that Jesus was loving, believing that Jesus was healing. And so I want to do something this morning. I just want to pray for people this morning that maybe you feel like the blind before Jesus stopped. If you feel like the blind man, you know, you've been sitting on the side of the road, and, you know, truth be told, this guy probably spent many years sitting on the side of this road begging as people went by. You know, we read the story from our perspective today, but he probably sat in that same spot, in that same road, year after year after year after year, begging for money. Right? We read it from the perspective of, oh, he just calls out to Jesus twice. Your healing's here, you know. And that's, you know, in reality, he probably spent many years begging for a long time. And then when he hears Jesus coming by, he's like, he starts shouting, and he persists. And maybe you kind of feel like that. You know, people around the beggar told him to be quiet. He didn't have a whole lot going for him. You know, the thing is, a lot of times, when we persist in something, you know, maybe it's in starting a business or starting something entrepreneurial. When we persist in something, don't we always have sort of like well-meaning friends coming along going, so what's your backup? Right? I mean, you know, I just don't want to see you get your hopes up. I don't want to see your heart broken again, man. I've just seen it dash so many times. Don't we have people in our lives that are just like the people around the blind beggar going, hey, live in reality, okay? And I just want to pray for those people who feel like that. Maybe you're in need and you just want to give up, right? Maybe you're tired and you're discouraged and your faith is low. Right? Maybe you got another bad report. Found out you're going to have to get back surgery again. Yeah, right? I mean, it's so easy to fall into discouragement. And there's something in your life that you've been believing for, and you're just kind of almost out of belief. Maybe you've failed the test 949 times. Right? I just want to pray for you. I want to pray for you because the 950th time is coming.